Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 15. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon, and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" This is the word of God.
I've got to get my magic wand up and running here. Okay. So friends, we are finishing up a sermon series on half-truths, or stuff the Bible doesn't say. So if you look in the cover of your bulletin, you'll see the first two that we did. They're kind of cousins. Everything happens for a reason, and God won't give you more than you can handle. And then today we're tackling this phrase, "God helps those who help themselves." Now, in those first two phrases or mottos, I pointed you to Bible verses that are kind of similar to that, that people have taken to mean the other things. But this third one, "God helps those who help themselves," it's not in the Bible at all. There's not really even anything close to it in the Bible. So if it's not in the Bible, where did it come from originally? And the first instance of it is Sophocles, about 400 years before Jesus was born. He said, "No good ever comes of leisure purposeless, and heaven never helps the men who will not act." And then after him, or about the same time, there's Euripides, who said, "Try first thyself, and after call in God, for the worker God himself lends aid." And then there's a couple of other Greek sources that say kind of variations on this, but it never comes up in the Bible. It does come up in the Quran, though. In the Quran, the Islamic holy book, it says, "Indeed, God will not change the conditions of a population until they change what is in themselves." There's an Arab phrase that's similar to that, and it translates loosely to "trust in God, but also tie up your camel." So, like, don't just leave your camel there expecting nobody to steal it. You tie it up and also trust in God. I've heard people say, Christians say something similar to that, like with your seatbelt. You know, trust in God, but also fasten your seatbelt. So this phrase, God helps those who help themselves, it's appealing to a lot of people. It's appealing to me, too, if I'm honest, because I think we all like this idea that we participate in our own future, right? If we do hard work, then we'll gain a reward for that. If we're showing up and doing what we're supposed to do, things will go generally well. But if we act lazy and don't do what we're supposed to do, we're going to pay for that. And we want to believe sometimes that God is like this, that God responds to us in the same way. But then we hear a story like the story that Kathy just read for us. The story of a landowner who hires somebody, they agree on a daily wage, and then they're working all day long. At the end of the day, he contracts a couple people who work just a couple hours at the end, and then at the end, the landowner pays them all the same. And we get to this verse. I choose to give to the last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? The whole story doesn't seem fair. If we're into fairness and justice, it doesn't seem fair at all. One of my favorite authors and writers is a woman named Brené Brown, and she tells a story about teaching this story to Sunday school kids. And she did it with jumping jacks and Monopoly money. So she said to the kids, okay, kids, do some jumping jacks, and I'm going to give you some Monopoly money at the end. So she has some kids doing jumping jacks till they're really panting and out of breath. And then she says, keep going, keep going. And then she has other kids do like two jumping jacks. And then she says, okay, I'm going to pay you. And she gives the first group $100 of Monopoly money. And then she gives the other two $100 of Monopoly money. She said the kids went crazy. They're like, that's not fair. I don't like that. That's not good. And she said, I know. And they say God is like this. What does it mean? What does it mean to say God is like this? I asked you this question last week, what's your view of God? Kind of in regards to, is God really involved in our lives, or is God just kind of not involved at all? And today I want to ask you the same question, what's your view of God in terms of this question of how does God interact with you and me? Do you think of God as someone who's grading you, like someone who's grading a test, you know, checking off, making sure that you're doing the right things at the right time? Or do you think of God as loving you no matter what you do? To the right is, I couldn't think of a symbol that showed unconditional, undeserved love except for this one. I'm kind of on this Celtic phase recently. But this is a Celtic symbol, and early Christians used it. There's the three little triangular things making the triangle of the Trinity, but if you follow the loop, it kind of goes, there's really no beginning and no end. And then the circle represents God's love, which has no beginning and no end. So when we think about God in terms of this idea that God helps those who help themselves, it's actually not something that we see in Scripture. In our Scripture, we find out that God chooses to love people who don't do their homework. God chooses to love people who don't do the right things, who are in the gutter, right where they are, who've done nothing to earn God's love, when we've done nothing to earn it at all. And I don't know whether it's harder for you or me to accept that God loves others even when they don't deserve it, or to accept that God loves us even when we don't deserve it. None of us is perfect. We all have our faults, our imperfections, our cranky moments, our less than holy times throughout the day or the week, our ugly truths. So I know it's a little uncomfortable, but think for a second about one of those ugly moments, one of those times when you feel like you were less than at your best. And then consider God being right there, loving you fully and completely in that place, at that moment, even if you didn't deserve it, even if you couldn't get out of the situation that you're in. Somewhere deep inside of us, I think it's easier to reconcile that God loves us because we earned it, because we did something to earn it. But God loves us just because God loves us. And that's the truth of the Christian gospel. So many times in the New Testament, we hear this story over and over again of Jesus choosing to invite people in, the marginalized of society, and God is always pointing out through Jesus that everyone is included at the table and everyone is loved completely. How many times do we talk about God's grace is given freely and without condition? But then we struggle maybe to believe it inside. The prodigal son, the banquet table, these are images of God's grace for those who don't, quote-unquote, deserve it. In work, in life, in friendships and relationships, in all of these things, it's good to strive to do good and to be better. It's not that we shouldn't strive to be good or to be the one raising our hand in the class with the right answer. I believe in excellence, but I also believe that the truth of the gospel is that God shows up for us when we're laid down low. God's true power is revealed to us not when we're succeeding, not when we've got it all together, not when we're at the top of our game, but when we are struggling, suffering, not at our best. So what will God do through you if you allow God to show up at your lowest moment, most tired, most sad, when you're feeling unlovable? Watch and see how God breaks through that tired, sad, unlovable feeling and helps lift you up. Not because you've done something to deserve it, but simply because God is faithful and God's love is for all. God helps those who help themselves is a nice thing to say. It's a nice sentiment. It's a nice idea, but it's not in the Bible. The good news of the Bible is that God helps us even when we don't help ourselves, even when we can't. This is the good news of the gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.